our next guest, Ren Lavoie, NHL insider from TVA Sports and Journal de Montréal. Ren, thank you very much for joining Ashley and myself. When did this happen?
Thank you very much for having me.
When did the Philadelphia Flyers get good? Because they're really good right now, aren't they?
Oh, they're just unbelievable, to be honest. And I saw a stat the last week when Philly was in Montreal. Since 2010, Claude Giroux is the fourth best player in the league point-wise. That's something that people kind of forget because, you know, obviously he was not in the playoff as much as a Sidney Crosby or a Malkin or a Ovechkin. But that being said, still one of the best player since 2010. It's unique for him. Why I'm saying it's unique, it's because, you know, he went through a lot in his career, and he's not a big talker. He's not the type of guy who's going to complain about anything. But, you know, I think he knew that he had to change things. And, you know, I think we've talked about that earlier this year, that he had a hip surgery the few months before the World Cup. So that's why he didn't play much at the World Cup. He had I've learned that he had a wrist surgery at the same time or close to it. So to have a hip surgery and a wrist surgery, it's tough to get through those surgeries. And one thing that he decided to do during the summer is to have a skill coach. Can you imagine being on the ice with a skill coach? It's Claude Giroux. We're talking about him here. We're not talking about your fourth line player. And he had a power skating coach too. And instead of going on the ice in July, at the end of July, like he normally does, he decided to skate in June and to start really focusing on the season in June compared to maybe August. So I think that's why the Flyers are that good. That's why Claude Giroux is that good. He's committed. And one thing that he's always telling me this year is, I can be better. It's not like he's saying, oh, I made it, I'm back, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm going to survive this, everything's going to be fine as usual. No, he wants to be better. And I think you know, it's tough to say. He's no Sidney Crosby, he's no Ovechkin, maybe he's no Malkin, but he's unique and he's one of the best. So it's, but like I said, we're not talking enough about what he did in his career so far. I think it's pretty amazing.
You know, I look at the Flyers, and you know, as we were talking, I was looking at their roster. You look at the guys like Shane Gostisbehere. You've got Brandon Manning, Ivan Provorov last year. They've got Robert Hägg and Travis Sanheim. They're getting a lot of work out of them this year. I mean, they've put together a defense corps in the last 2 years, haven't they? Then they bring up Johnny Oduya, or they pick him up at the waiver deadline. But, you know, this is kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, when you step back and look at what the Flyers have done, they've kind of set themselves up nicely. Injuries always come into this. But if they can stay healthy, they've set themselves up nicely for the next couple of years, haven't they?
And it's nothing flashy when you get a Mrazek a few days before the deadline, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I've been asked who won the trading deadline, and I said the Flyers. It cost them a third and a fourth conditional picks, and they just find that the solution that they really needed. And people are like, yeah, but look at what Tampa did. I said Tampa was already really good.
Right.
So there's, it's tough to go higher when you're that high.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like the Pittsburgh Penguins with Derek Brassard. Great trade. But at the same time, they're still favorite to win the Stanley Cup again. It's not like, you know, they got worse. They didn't got worse. They got better. But for me, the Flyers, what they did was really important because they stabilized one of the most important position in hockey, which is goaltending, and it shows right now. Mrazek was really good this week in Montreal, and so to have stability, it really helps the player, defensemen to play the game that they wanted to play, the forwards to play the game that they want to play. If you don't have a good goaltender, and we've been through that a lot, you and I, during the time we're working together. If you don't have a good goaltender, it's not going to work, whatever's in front of you. And so, you know, it's a small move. It's not a flashy move, but it's working really, really well.
I love your story about Giroux because it's just so interesting that a guy who's in his 10th season in the NHL is understanding the way that things are going, that it's getting younger, it's getting more skilled, it's getting faster. So he's putting his energy into those traits in order to continue to sustain success at this level. So that's super interesting to me that he's willing to dedicate himself to his craft and understand how things are changing and adapt to that, because that's just going to bode well for him and obviously his team, as Jeff reiterated the numbers earlier. It's already made an impact.
Yeah, and you know what? The other part of that story is Sean Couturier, because Sean was the third line centerman. Okay, and I mean he didn't really have the chance to prove himself offensively. So even at the World Cup, he was your third line, fourth line center. And I remember doing interviews with him about it. And in his eyes, he was like looking at me and, don't say that I'm a defensive forward only. Yeah, it's not true. I know stats-wise it is what it is, but it's not true. I'm better than that. And so the fact that this year he had more responsibilities as a centerman, instead of playing on the third line, he went on the first line with Claude. So when the Flyers were losing a game by one goal, they were always putting, Claude with Sean Couturier, and it was clicking, and they were always like, we need to play together at one point. But we were talking here about two centermen. So the Flyers were not ready to make that move to put Claude as a winger. But when Claude agreed to that, which was close to the last week of the training camp, he didn't have to agree. It's just because they were trying something, other things. It was not working. And obviously there was a discussion about it. And he said, well, let's try it. There's nothing. We have nothing to lose here. And it clicked right away. So that's why you look at the this year NHL Selke Trophy. Everybody's talking about Patrice Bergeron, rightly so. I think he's going to win it easily. But I think the second best forward could be Sean Couturier if you're looking at a Selke candidate. And Braden Point with the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, are my three choices now. But they're obviously, Couturier is still young. Point is young. But the fact that Sean Couturier is that good too, it really helps a guy like Claude Giroux, because pressure is not always on him. But that being said, I mean, if there's a team that I really enjoy to watch on TV this year, it's the Flyers, just because of Claude Giroux. I mean, he's unbelievable.
I want to move on and ask you about the daily question about Max Pacioretty. Now that the trade deadline has passed, is this over? I mean, we're starting to hear, I've heard in a couple of places that maybe the focus now might be on either re-signing him or that Max Pacioretty, now that the trade deadline is gone, is interested in staying in Montreal. Has this departure just been delayed, Ren? Or do you think once things settle down and once everybody's had a chance to step back from the edge, that perhaps there may be a place for Max Pacioretty in Montreal?
I'll be surprised. I'll be surprised, but at the same time, you know, we've seen things in the NHL that were always surprising. We had an expectation on a situation, and it turned the other way around. But I'll say this: if you're asking me percentage-wise, what do I think that Max Pacioretty is going to stay with Montreal? I'll say 80% no, 20% yes. So there. And I'm not saying that because Max is a bad person or a bad player or a bad captain. Not at all. It's a question. It's only simple math. He's going to need an extension with the Montreal Canadiens, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 7 or 8 year deal at $7 to $8 million per season. I think the Canadiens are not ready to pay that, okay? That's the reality. I think they have other options right now that they're looking at. And if those options maybe are not working, maybe Mac's going to be back with the Canes on a long-term contract. But I don't think that's the plan right now, to be honest with you. So we'll see how it's going to turn out. There's nothing certain, but I don't believe that because he was not traded at the deadline, that he won't be traded anyway. To be honest with you, Jeff, everybody that I was talking to with the Canes were always saying to me the same thing. Mac's not going to be traded at the deadline. This is a hockey trade. This is not a rental trade. Mm. So I know there was some hockey trades in the NHL during, the last few days. But that being said, it's not because it happened that it's what the Canes wanted to do. So that's why Thomas Plekanec is now a Toronto Maple Leaf. But they really want to have, and I'm sure that Mark knows what he can get really in return. And teams are just asking him, hey, you need to wait because we can't do that trade right now, but we're going to be more than happy to do it during the offseason. So if it will happen. If it doesn't, I'll be technically shocked if it doesn't.
What do you think the chances are that John Tavares is someone that puts on a Habs jersey? Because we know the sweepstakes are ramping up. He's, by all accounts, he's the one who's not engaging in negotiations with the Islanders at this point. And over the last day or two, there's been a lot of talk with Tavares in Montreal in the same sentence. And I'm wondering how that all plays out with the Pacioretty mess. And if he's leaving, would that be more or less of an incentive for Tavares to consider the Canadiens?
I don't think it will because, it's not because they're making a move for Tavares that it's going to be the only move. Mm-hmm. I think there's, when the draft will arrive, they're going to look at their position at the draft pick. And after that, you can do a lot of things with that pick. I'm not saying 100% they're going to trade the pick, but there's still a chance that it can happen because you need really more skills. You need more players in your system, which is a problem right now for the Canadiens. And on John Tavares, there's no certainty. I've been told that the Rangers are going to try hard to get him on July 1st. Like, they're going to push hard. But I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, John Tavares is a really good man. He's a really good person. If he decides to move away from the Islanders, is he going to go play for the Rangers, really? Mm. I don't think so. Yeah. He's not going to make that move. Because it's a slap in the face to the Islanders fans, something that I'm sure he doesn't want to do. It's not against the New York Islanders fan if he's making the decision to move away. He doesn't want to do that. So that even if the Rangers are interested, I'll be shocked if it happens. And the other thing that you have to look with the Islanders is, I'm sure deep in his heart, he's like, I want to stay here. I want to play with the Islanders. But there's the other side of it. What that team, that organization did over the years to prove him that, you know what, we're for real and we're going to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. They have good young players right now. I mean, let's be honest. But they badly need defensemen. We don't know what's going to happen in the net goaltending wise next year. That's another topic. I mean, the Islanders have a lot to prove to John Tavares. It's not only a question of money. Money, he's going to get the money wherever he's going to play. It's more a question if he wants to stay loyal to the Islanders. They need to show him that they're ready to play a man's game and to say, you know what, we're for real. We're gonna win that Stanley Cup one day, and you're gonna be a champion wearing that jersey. It's easy to say, it's really easy to say, and I feel like the Islanders now really need to prove him that that's a strong reality and a strong possibility. If not, he's gonna say, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate, but I need to look what my value is on the market and who's going to be interested. And I think there'll be a lot of people knocking on his door. Montreal's going to be one team that's going to be ready because of the cap. They're ready to take a good player. They're ready to pay that player. So that's, in a way, the Montreal Canadiens set themselves for that. if it happens, there could be a beautiful parade in Montreal in July. If it doesn't, it's going to be, I don't think that the Canadians are going to say, oh, we're screwed again and we're not going to make it. No, they're going to, there's other options around. There's some really good players in the league that maybe they don't have the star power of a John Tavares, but there's really good players in the league that could be available. And one team, I know I'm going to look in that direction, but it's really what's going to happen with the Blackhawks. That's the real question. What's really going to happen with the Blackhawks?
Yeah. Where do you see that going?
They have to make a decision here. We're staying put, or we need to understand that adding two star players, getting that kind of money, we're stuck in the mud. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're bad players. They're unbelievable people and great players. But there's a cap. The problem is the cap. And so by, I guess, trading one of their star players, you can have, obviously, more in your system. Draft picks, young players coming in, cheap players that are going to help you. Maybe win another Stanley Cup. I don't think that Stan Bowman is going to be just happy looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins trying to win a Stanley Cup year after year. He's thinking, hey, we're not that far away from being that team again. So, but I'm not saying 100% it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's a situation that we need to look at and to really look at what management is going to do. They have plenty of options. Can that be one of the options? I'm asking the question.